Watch. I mean, pay attention. For the day of the Lord is coming when your possessions will be plundered right in front of you. In fact, Cheryl and I was talking last night about things. And she said, you know, honey, things don't mean nothing to me no more. I said, well, you're getting to the right point. I said, we have a lot of things, but you know how long it would take to lose everything you got? Just like that. I mean, all they'd have to do is come off and drag you off, right? It says, on that day, I will gather all the nations. How many?
All
the nations to fight against Jerusalem. Does that include the United States?
Yes.
That's scary. But you know, when I see these kind of scriptures, I know what's happening today has to happen. Because if we were an ally of Israel and helping Israel every way in the world, then we couldn't be against them. So it has to happen. So, you know, when you see this, you just think, Lord, the end is near. I mean, for the first time in my life that I know of, we're crossways with Israel. I mean, Israel's always been our friend. But now then, all those that were our enemies appear to be our friends because they're all Muslims and we have a Muslim in the White House. And so, anyway, on that day, I will gather. And who's talking here? On that day, I. Who's I?
God.
God. That's exactly right. God. This is His book. And on that day, I, God, will gather all the nations to fight against Jerusalem. All nations. That includes us. The city will be taken, the houses plundered, and the women raped. That doesn't sound like too good a day, does it, you? If you were a man, you're going to be killed. If you're a woman, you're going to be raped. Does that sound like a good day?
No,
that don't sound like a good day. Who's doing all this? Scary, isn't it? On that day, I will gather all the nations to fight against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses plundered, and the women raped. Half the population will be taken away into captivity, and half will be left among the ruins of the city. The city's going to be in ruins. What city have we just seen recently that was a city that was intact and 4 million people lived in it, and just a few minutes later, the whole city's in ruins? Port-au-Prince in Haiti, right? Just think, in minutes, a complete city was just annihilated, gone. How long does it take God to wipe out a city? Just like that. I mean, He can do it. Does it pay good dividends to make Him happy?
Yeah.
I don't think I want to make Him mad, do you? I mean, when you make the king mad, man, he can just reach down on earth with his big toe and just tap one time and a whole city just fall apart. That's all he's got to do. Just tap it. Verse 3 and 4. Then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations as He has fought in times past. Oh. Then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations as He has fought in times past. So who's going to be fighting against all those nations that He brought against Israel?
God.
Amen. On that day, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Oh, does that sound like He's coming?
Yes.
I mean, He's going to stand on the Mount of Olives with those same feet that He left 2,000 plus years ago. They're going to look up one morning and there's going to be the King.
Yes.
He's coming. This day is close at hand. On that day, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will split apart, making a wide valley running from east to west, for half the mountains will move toward the north and half toward the south. That's going to be a pretty good little earthquake, isn't it? In other words, when He sets His foot on the ground, all He's got to do is say, shake a little bit, just and the whole world just splits open. He's the Creator, isn't He? He's God. Let me ask you this question right here. I watched a program I think it was Daystar or TBN One this week. I watched a few minutes of it, and they were talking to seminary professors all across the country with different kinds of seminaries. And this is the question. Who is Jesus? I might ask you the question, who is Jesus? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the God of Gods. He's the Creator God. Did he become a man?
Yes.
Did he die on a cross?
Yes.
Did he stay dead 3 days?
Yes.
And did that physical body they put in that tomb, did that same body, physical, rise from the dead and you could touch him and feel him again? And could he eat and drink and sleep?
Yes.
Yes. And some of the seminary professors I watched said, now, for him to physically rise again is impossible. Oh, yeah, some of the professors. Not all of them, of course, you know, but some of them. Many of them is right where I am. He's the King.
All right.
I mean, he can do anything. There ain't nothing hard for him. He's God. I mean, they've kicked all the sides out on the box. They know that with God, nothing is impossible, right? But some of those seminary professors hasn't got there yet. When I would see a professor that would say that for the physical resurrection to take place is an impossibility. That could never have been. They were seeing a spirit that wasn't a physical body that rose from the dead. I thought, and these people are teaching in our seminaries. Now we wonder why we got the problem we got. We wonder why God's going to clean this place out. First of all, your Jesus ain't big enough. When you realize that Jesus, all he had to do one day was say, let there be an earth. And what happened? There was an earth. And he said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. I mean, after all, when he put the sun out there in space, all he had to do was speak it and it happened, didn't he? And then whenever the whole cosmos is continuing to build and develop. And, of course, when I think about those satellite pictures I saw of the swirl galaxy the other day from the Hubble telescope, like a great big beautiful flowing flower. I mean, it most beautiful thing you can ever imagine, the lights and the colors and everything. And they had zoomed in on this thing, and in the process of the Hubble telescope, they're showing you you can see this whole thing looks like it's a big flower, and it's turning like this, the whole thing, because the way the stars are in an array, you can tell it looks like it's turning. The whole thing's going through space in a big circle. And they said, now, we're fairly close to this galaxy. Now, the speed of light, what's the speed of light? 186,000 miles per second. Now, that's almost as fast as your Chevrolet. 186,000 miles a second will go around the world 7.5 times by the time you can say 1,001. That bring it 7.5 times. I think about the times that Cheryl and I have been to Germany and Norway, and it's 8, 10, 12 hours of time riding in a jet at 550, 600 miles an hour. If we could travel at the speed of light, you couldn't take off and stop that quick, you know. But to think that that speed, that you could fly that speed, it would only take you 32 million years to get to that close galaxy. Now, it's close. It's close. It's just around the corner. 32. And God made that. And then the other day, I thought something was so awesome when I was looking at those pictures of the swirl galaxy. They begin to zoom in. You know, they just sent the guys out there, the mechanics out there to modify the Hubble telescope. Y'all, did y'all see any of that on television or anything where they sent these guys out there and they put a mod kit, some kind, revisioned this thing to make it even better? That's something to see these guys out there in their spacesuits working on this big telescope. I mean, here they are out there in space, just free-floating around with their safety line, of course, attached, because it's something to think about being out there in space, miles above the Earth. Look down and say, oh, there's the Earth, guys. Isn't that a pretty thing down there? Now, if you were afraid of heights, that wouldn't be a place to be, that's for sure. But when they got the thing fixed, they began to zoom in on the swirl galaxy. And as it began to zoom in, they found there was a great big black hole right in the middle of this galaxy. Nothing there. They didn't think. But they continued to zoom in to the black hole. And as they zoomed in, they got closer. And guess what appeared in the middle of that great big black hole? A beautiful cross of stars. Perfect. Just like the one Jesus died on. Now, who put that there? Jesus did. Wonder how many million years ago he put that there. No telling. We have no idea. But who put it there? The King. God. He put it there. The cosmos declares his glory. He knew he was going to send his son to die on a cross. So he put that in there and knew that it might be there 5 or 10 or 20 million or billion years till finally one day on earth we would be able to develop some kind of a telescope. We could see that far out and we could see this beautiful thing that he had put there billions of years ago or millions of years ago. Or who knows, he might have put it in there just before we turned the telescope on. You can't tell. Yeah. You know, with God. I mean, he could have said, oh, they've got a telescope now. They're going to be able to see. I'm going to put a big black hole out there and a big, beautiful cross of stars right in the middle to show them my glory. Amen. He could have done it right there, couldn't he? Amen. We don't know how he did it, but it's there. It's awesome. Our God is so awesome. So let's see what he says here. On that day that his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will split apart, making a wide valley running from east to west. From half the mountain will move toward the north and half toward the south. All he's got to do is just come and put his foot on those mountains, and that earthquake's going to take place. 5 and 6. You will flee through this valley, for it will reach across to Ai. Yes, you will flee as you did from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all his holy ones with him. Now, who's that? Who's his holy ones? Does that include you?
Yes.
Well, if that's going to include you, let me see you raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm going to be with that. We're going to be there. Okay, we're going to be that. It says, and then the Lord my God will come and all his holy ones with him. That's us, all of his children. And I'm going to tell you, there ain't none of us going to be sick and afflicted. Ain't none of us going to be blind or handicapped. We're going to be perfect because that's the way it's going to be. On that day, the source of light will no longer shine.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, The Day of the Lord is Coming, in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.